John's hands gripped the wheel. Blood soaked his shirt. The man writhing next to him screamed and groaned through his ruined face. This, thought John, is shaping up to be a really shit day. He checked the dash. Not because he needed to glean anything from the speedometer or the fuel gauge, but to distract himself. His friend, he was certain, was going to die. He wasn't ready to admit that just yet. Best not to admit defeat even when it's nuzzling up your leg, but things weren't looking good. The car was dancing below the speed limit, skirting the very edge of it, a warm hum pulsing as the engine threatened to overheat and gutter out entirely. Another noise, this one more of a bloody burble, yanked John from his trance. Focus, he thought. Focus. You're not far from the hospital. You can fix this. You can make this work. You can get this shit back into the horse, John. A confused, wet, garbled scream drew John's eye. He looked over at his friend, doubled up, utterly soaked through with his own blood, clenched hands holding his face in place. John flashed back, somewhat inappropriately, to himself as a child, holding stolen apples in his shirt and sneaking into his house round the back. Just as he was about to make it to his bedroom, the buttons popped and the shirt burst open, unable to bear the burden of his stolen goods. The apples tumbled forth. His dad yelled at him for an hour. Why am I remembering this? John thought in a daze, foot stamped down on the accelerator. Oh, he looks like he's about to let go too. He can't carry anymore. They were, John realized, snapping back to the present, still a long way from the hospital. They were in the back streets now, burning up and down long roads, coursing along winding avenues, and into the kind of dips and troughs you only really saw on the northern beaches of Sydney. We aren't going to make it, John thought. He's collapsing. I'm going into shock. And with a rather pleasant flump, the car mounted the gutter at high speed, and everything went dark.